From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. This message is based on Christ's two parables in Luke chapter 16, the unjust steward and the rich man and Lazarus. Both have many important lessons for us. But as Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating, the chief emphasis is on the matter of riches. The Lord Jesus cautions his hearers to seek for the true riches, that is, spiritual riches, and to be careful of the subtle power of worldly wealth. Dr. Cairns will resume the message shortly, but first, in today's hot topic, he provides evidence that Darwinism led directly to the Holocaust.
Ben Stein is not a Christian. He's a Jew and a journalist, a former speechwriter for Presidents Nixon and Ford. Both as a Jew and a journalist, he has a very personal interest in anything to do with the Holocaust, the slaughter of some 6 million Jews by Hitler's Nazi regime. For Stein, Darwinism is not just problematic, but even dangerous. He contended in a teleconference with the press that Darwin said that there were certain species that were superior to other species, and all were competing for scarce supplies of food or resources. But if there was a limited supply of basic resources, Darwinism taught that, quote, you owe it to the superior race to kill the inferior race, close the quote. Stein further stated that Darwinian evolutionary theory fueled Nazi idealism that felt gypsies, Eastern Europeans, and others were competing with them for scarce basic resources. As a Jew, said Stein, I am horrified that people thought Jews were so inferior they didn't deserve to live. Referring to the Darwinian theory of natural selection and random mutation, Stein said that it, quote, led in a straight line to the Holocaust and Nazism. Ben Stein's strictures on Darwinism are right on the money. The blame for the 20th century's blackest nightmare lies fairly and squarely at the door of Darwinian evolution. So it is a dangerous system of belief. But there are other reasons for viewing Darwinism as dangerous, an enemy of liberty of thought and investigation. Stein has produced a documentary film that will hit theaters across the nation in April of this year, titled Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. The film deals with the stranglehold that Darwinists have gained over academia, and how its evolutionists are determined to exclude any other possible explanation of origins. Stein interviews leading atheists and evolutionists, including Richard Dawkins, as well as leading proponents of the theory of intelligent design. While Stein's film doesn't seek to validate one theory over the other, it does raise questions that evolutionists would rather avoid. Stein asks, where did life come from? How did cells get so complex? If the origins of life all did happen by random mutation, where do the laws that make the universe possible to function? The law of gravity, the law of thermodynamics, the laws of motion, where do they all come from? Who created these laws that keeps the planets in motion? As Stein says, these are fundamental questions to which Darwinism has no answer. don't expect to see Ben Stein's film win any Oscars. But if enough sane people act on the impetus it causes, we can see our politicians forced to move to protect freedom of speech, especially in academia. As the executive producer of Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, said, what we're asking for is freedom of speech. For people who do research to have freedom to ask the questions they need to ask and to go where they need to go. Now that sounds very good. It is very good. But it is enough to give evolutionists across America a heart attack. The last thing Darwinism can stand is competition from people free to think.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Can you look God in the face today and say, I am redeemed and I know it full well. Saved by His grace, I with Him shall dwell. I am redeemed. I'm the child of His love. I'm heir to a glorious mansion above. Is that your testimony? There's nothing can compare with that wealth. Every penny you earn in this life, you lose. Every dollar you will leave behind. Every house will crumble to dust. All possessions will become as nothing. But here is gold that is the gold of glory. Here is treasure that will last forever. Let me ask you today, are you rich toward God? That was our Savior's first priority. And therefore, secondly, the Lord Jesus warned against the subtle power and the danger of worldly possession and worldly wealth. The first obvious and terrible warning is that worldly possessions can easily become our God and our master. Notice he says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon demands to be served. We've seen this, every one of us, in our lives. I have seen people throughout my life who struggled. They had nothing and they were as happy as could be. They didn't have much, but they had enough. And they were happy. And then they got a little bit. And suddenly they realized, I have something now to lose. Before they had nothing to lose. I have something now I can lose. I have something I've got to guard. I have something I've got to grow. I have something that I've got to pay attention to. And you see, that's what the Lord Jesus is warning us about. That when you get wrapped up in the possessions of this world, they demand your attention, they consume your attention, and suddenly, instead of being your servant, they become your master. Instead of being your servant, they become your God, because they want your devotion. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, they that will be rich. It's not they that are rich. Some of the best men in the Bible were rich men. Abraham's an outstanding example. Take Joseph as another, from rags to riches. Some of the best men who ever lived. But they who will be rich, they who have got it in their blood, I must make it. They who set before them such a financial goal or a goal of worldly possessions, that becomes the consuming passion and the directing passion of their lives. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, as I've noted, much of what the Lord Jesus was saying here was directed against the Pharisees because they were covetous. Why was he so insistent in warning about this awful effect of money taking over, worldly possessions taking over to become your God? Because, as Colossians 3 verse 5 says, covetousness is idolatry. We don't often think of that. Covetousness is idolatry. Now let me leave the Pharisees for a moment, and let me bring it right down to the Christians here and now. If covetousness is idolatry, then I wonder, do we here have a reason for the spiritual impotence of the larger part of the Church of Christ in America today? Are we losing the blessing of God because we are bowing at the altar of mammon? Have we taken what is called the American dream and turned it into a nightmare by making possessions our God, our Master? These are serious questions. The Lord Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And until your money means nothing to you, unless it be a means of glorifying God, until then, you'd be better without it, because it will destroy you and it will destroy yours utterly. He warns again that pursuing wealth could easily lead to dishonesty. Verse 10 is a word for all of us. But I would say certainly to all young people and all young Christians starting out in life. He talks about the little things. The little things. And it's very easy to become duplicitous, dishonest, and unfaithful in the little things. Oh, I would never rob a bank. But I don't mind robbing my employer. Remember a fellow coming to me and telling me how he had robbed his employer. And he says, but he deserves it because he's not paying me what he ought to pay me. And he was right. He wasn't paying him what he ought to pay him. But the thing to do was not to become a thief of a host of small things. It was to go and face the thing down and rather lose a job than lose your conscience and lose your character. But among Christians, the most obvious form of this is the most pernicious form of all. And that is robbing God. You see, we get a little bit. And we look at that and we can't let any of it go. Do you realize that in most churches it's not rich people who really support the work of God? I am in the happy position, I never know what anybody gives to this church. That's a deliberate policy of mine throughout my ministry. So that if ever I have to say anything the Scripture says, I can say it with a clear conscience. I don't know what you give or what you don't give. And I have no interest in knowing either. But I remember when I was in Ballymoney, it was a large Presbyterian church a few miles out the road, as we would say there, just a few miles up the line towards Resharkin, nearest big city of about 200 or 300 souls. There was this large Presbyterian church. You must understand that in Northern Ireland, the Presbyterian Church is the church. It's the largest of all the Protestant denominations. It has had the most impact on the religious and social development of the whole nation. And these rural churches are the very heart of Irish Presbyterianism. And they turned out a written report every year. And they gave names and they gave amounts of money that was given. That was their way of making sure that everything was done above board and that people didn't give money. It was not recorded. Everybody knew it's recorded there. In our church, we did the same thing, except we didn't put any names. We gave people a number. We reported the number, and only the person knew their number. Again, a way to make sure everybody knew what had been given. But man, when you took this thing and you saw men who were millionaires, and in 1 year they would maybe give £10. That would have been $25 in 1 year. Then you looked at some of the small people who had nothing, but they were tithing and they were giving. You realized that in many of those churches, it wasn't the rich who were keeping the church going, because they had so much they couldn't afford to give it up. Let me tell you, I very rarely preach on giving, but I want to tell you that one of the keys to the people of God living in contentment is whatever your income level, right at the top, you give a tenth of it to the Lord. Malachi 3 asked the question, will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. And the Israelites said, wherein have we robbed you? And the Lord said, in tithes and in offerings. And then he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. This is God's way. This is an act of faith. You may say, well, I couldn't afford to tithe. Well, let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you can't afford not to tithe. I remember proving that. My minister used to say that, and he was a minister of a small church, and money was very, very tight. In fact, I don't know how they lived and what they lived on. And he used to say, I cannot afford not to tithe, because I can do better on 9/10 with the blessing of God than 10/10 without it. And I learned that as a teenager from him. And I tell you, it's true. The sin of Christians holding on. What are you saying? You can't trust God to meet your needs? Lord, I can't give up these few dollars every month, because if I did, I wouldn't have enough to pay the bills, and I wouldn't have enough to do this, and I wouldn't have enough to do that. That's unbelief. Will a man rob God? Pursuing mammon can make us, like the Pharisees, covetous and dishonest. And it also wraps us up in self-centeredness and makes us so greedy and ungrateful that we're never satisfied. This was the sin of this steward. He was well off, but he was so self-centered. He became greedy. Instead of being grateful for what he had, he was self-centered and unsatisfied, and so he went for more. You take the rich man who ended up in hell. He fared sumptuously every day. The steward cared nothing for the rights of others. The rich man cared nothing for the needs of others. They were oblivious to others. And such people are never satisfied. I remember as a young student going to preach in a church in County Down in Northern Ireland. And I preached in a text that I've never preached on since. And that's not because it was such a terrible meeting. The Lord helped in that meeting. But for that meeting, I had one text that I couldn't get away from. And I found out why I had to preach it. There was a vacation area. And there was a family came, and everybody in that family was a Christian except one. That was the father of the family. A millionaire a few times over, a man who had everything, and he would drop into that little church by the seaside during the summer months. Now, I didn't know he existed, of course, when I was going visiting there to preach on this particular Sunday evening. And when he was sitting there, I had no idea that he was a visitor, never mind who he was. A man wrapped up in what he had. And the text that the Lord gave me to preach that night, and I wondered why he was squirming so much and why he was so very, very, very obviously uneasy, was Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. You see, once you set your eyes on the mammon of unrighteousness instead of the true riches, you're never satisfied.
You've been listening listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.